It's time once again for It's a Good Life. Please join us as Dr. Lewis Woodard teaches and preaches from the King James Bible. Our prayer for you is that this program will help lift you to higher ground with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, Dr. Woodard.
We start our study once again today in the book of Ephesians, and we're in chapter 2. The verse that we look at today is verse 1 of chapter 2, and it says, "And you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins." And let me stop here and say that, if at all possible, please have your Bible and follow along with me as I read the scripture. It's a proven fact that you learn so much when you hear, and you learn so much when you see. Well, if you combine those two things, then I believe you're going to learn twice as much if you see the scripture. And if you hear the scripture, it's important for us to study, to learn the Word of God, to listen to it. The Bible says that the Word of God is quick and powerful. And once we get that in our minds and in our hearts, the Word that is, then that Word will work through us and help us. I'm not telling you that you're going to be quick and powerful in yourself, but you will be quick and powerful in the Lord. Maybe not physically as much, but you, as you study the Word of God, He'll recall things to your memory, the things that you need, and you have the power to be a witness for the Lord in this world, according to Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. Well, verse 1 of Ephesians chapter 2 once again says, "And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins." Isn't it wonderful to know that you've been made alive today because of the Lord Jesus Christ? It says, "And you hath he quickened." That means we've been made alive. Now, I'm speaking to a person who is saved, a person who is on his way or her way to heaven. I once had a person mention to me, he said, "You Baptist, you use that word saved. Well, that's not even in the Bible." Well, it may not be in the perverted word that that person was reading, but it is in the Word of God. It talks about being saved. And as we study the Word of God, we use that word because it is in the Scriptures. And, in the book of Acts, it talks about Paul and Silas in the jail at Philippi. And the jailer came in. They were in prison. The jailer came in, and he thought everybody had escaped because there was a great earthquake, because Paul and Silas had been praying, and all the doors of the prison, they swung open. So he thought everybody was gone. This jailer did. But Paul said, "Do thyself no harm. We're still here." And what did the jailer say? He said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And they answered and said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house." So we see that the word saved is in the Word of God, and that's a King James Bible. Perversions of the Word of God leave out the word saved in many instances. So that's the reason this person who was questioning me about that, they wanted to know about the word saved. Well, that led into a good conversation and a good way for me to present the plan of salvation to that individual. Well, the Bible says, "In you hath he quickened." And that's speaking to the person who has been born again. "And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins." We were once dead, but now we're alive because of the Lord Jesus Christ. Notice verse 2. "Wherein, in time past, you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience." And we've talked about this before, how that the devil is the prince and power of the air. He's in control of the world system. He's in control of the things that this world stands for. And I'm speaking of the world that lies in the hand of the wicked one. And the wicked one, of course, is the prince and the power of the air, and that's the devil. And we need to be careful as saved people to not get so wrapped up into the things of the world that we forget the things of God. Now, we need to be living, that's for sure. We have a life to live here. We need to take care of our families. And we need to do the things that is necessary to live this life while we're here. But we are not to get so wrapped up that we forget Jesus Christ, the one who saved us. We should not get so wrapped up in the things of the world that we start doing things that are not really considered the things of God. People get wrapped up in making money. There's nothing wrong with making money as long as that money or the making of that money takes away, as long as it does not take away from serving God or doing the things of God. Don't let these things of the world interfere with your life as a saved person. We need to be bringing honor and glory to our Heavenly Father through Jesus Christ. Now verse 3, Ephesians 2. It says, among whom also we all had our conversation, in other words, our behavior, our testimony. We lived like this, among whom also we all had our conversation in time past in the lusts of our flesh. We're all the same. We're all human beings. We suffer from the same thing. We suffer from the plague of sin. Sin came in by Adam, of course, and we've talked about that before, how that he sinned, and by sin, death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Do not blame Adam for your sin, because it's personal. Our sin is personal to us. My sin is personal. Your sin is personal. And there's one sin that will keep you out of heaven, and that is the sin of not receiving Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. But it says here to the saved person in verse 3, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, in other words, as human beings, in the lusts of our flesh. Everybody has the temptation that comes along, the lusts of the flesh. And it says that fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, we were all tempted to do this, and we did this in the past before we were quickened, made alive, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. We have that old sin nature. It's always going to be with us as long as we live in this body. Until the breath of life leaves this body, we are going to have that old flesh, that by the nature of the children of wrath. We've got that old flesh and that fleshly desires that creep in, and we've got to keep our bodies under control. And the only way we can do that is through Jesus Christ, our Savior. We have to stay close to Him. We have to stay in the Word of God. We have to stay close in prayer with our Heavenly Father. And we need to talk to Him constantly and say, oh, God, help me. I want to live for You. I do not want to bring dishonor and disgrace to You. I want to let people see me and see You through me. Lord, I don't want to be the one they actually see, but I want them to see You. I want them to know that I love You, that You've saved my soul. I'm on my way to heaven, and I want them to know that so that they too can know You as Savior, Lord, and they can go to heaven just like I'm going. Well, notice verse 3, among whom also, that's in the world, among the world, also we all had our conversation in times past. We're all the same. We're human. The lust of the flesh, we're human. Fulfilling the desires of the flesh, we're human. And of the mind, our mind, we are human, and we're by nature the children of wrath. We are the people of this world. We're human beings, and these things are going to plague us until the breath of life leaves this old body, and this old body is dead. But thank God, you and I who know Jesus as Savior, we're going to get a new body. That body is going to be fashioned like that of our Lord Jesus Christ. We're all the same in this world. We're saved. I'm no better than the unsaved person. I'm just better off. I'm on my way to heaven. But the Bible says that we're all in the same boat. We're all the same. We're born into this world. In fact, Psalm 51:5 says, behold, I was shapen in iniquity. I was made this way. And in sin did my mother conceive me. Born into sin. That's the reason Jesus Christ told Nicodemus, you must be born again. Because there needs to be a change. You were born a human being into this world, and you were born into sin, so therefore you need a new birth. You need to ask Jesus to save you. And then I think of Romans chapter 10. There's so much in these verses that we look at. In Romans chapter 10 and verse 12, it says, for there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon Him. Well, there's no difference in any person. We're all the same. We've been born into this world. We're human. We've been born into sin. We're sinners. And there is no difference between the Jew or the Greek individuals. Why? And why, if you get saved, and once again it says, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. He becomes our Lord when we call upon him, and we trust him as Lord and Savior. He makes no difference as to who we are. He is willing to save everyone in this world. And verse 13 says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. There is no difference. Everyone can do the same thing to go to heaven. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And as we keep reading in the book of Romans here in chapter 10, verse 14 says, how then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? Well, I've got news for you today. You don't have to stand in a pulpit to preach the Word of God. You can tell others about Jesus Christ, and as you do that, you're a preacher. You can preach the Word of God by handing someone a gospel tract, a gospel tract that is written so that people can know how to go to heaven. It gives them the plan of salvation. So anyone who presents the plan of salvation, presents the Word of God, they are a preacher. And once again, it says, how shall they hear without a preacher, according to verse 14? And it goes on in verse 15, and how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. Well, I was accused one time of having beautiful feet. An individual called me up on the phone and we were talking and said, I just want you to know you've got beautiful feet. And I was thinking, how do they know I've got beautiful feet? They've never seen my feet. Well, what they were referring to, of course, was this verse in Romans chapter 10 and verse 15. How shall they preach except they be sent? And as it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings, good things. Well, this person that said that to me, they said that, I think they just did that kind of get me off guard and see if I did know this scripture. Well, after I thought about it, I realized what they were saying, that as a preacher, I have beautiful feet because I'm carrying the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ to the people of this world. And you too today, may I say, I've never seen your feet, but may I say, if you're carrying the gospel to this lost and dying world, you have beautiful feet. You are the ones that's helping other individuals as they too can have beautiful feet once they get saved and they can start telling others about Jesus Christ. Well, I want to keep reading a couple of more verses here in Romans chapter 10. In verse 16, it says, but they have not all obeyed the gospel. In other words, we carry the gospel, but all of people have not obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah saith, Lord, who hath believed our report? And so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. It's God who does the work. We give out the report that Jesus saves, that he wants individuals to know him as Lord and Savior. And it's up to that individual to believe the report. It's up to the Holy Spirit to convict the heart of people so that they will know they need a Savior. And it's up to us to save people, to give out the Word of God. And then, when we do that, we can have beautiful feet, and God is going to bless us one day as we stand before him, and he says, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Lord, lift me up, and
let me stand. You have been listening to It's a Good Life with Dr. Lewis Woodard. We trust you have been blessed. More biblical teaching about the Christian life can be found by visiting our websites, lrwm.org or itsagoodliferadio.com. We would love to hear from you today. Our email address is life@lrwm.org. This is Doug Anderson reminding you that it's a good life serving the Lord. May the Lord bless you richly is our prayer.